John McDonnell.
Thank you. I'll be extremely brief. The speeches we've heard so far have been incredibly eloquent. They've mapped out the situation, undertaken a fundamental analysis, and I think given us a guide to action. So I don't think there's much that I can add. In addition to that, to be frank with you, I'm completely knackered. I've just done about 1,500 miles travelling around, meeting after meeting as part of the leadership campaign. Meeting with people in small and large meetings, trade unionists, Labour Party members, non-Labour Party members, civil society leaders and others to talk about the issues that are confronting our community. Number one on the agenda at every meeting, the first question is always about Iraq. It's about Iraq because of the fundamental breakdown in trust between the people of this country and the government that currently rules us. And why was that breakdown in trust? Well, we know. It wasn't just the lie. It wasn't just the dodgy dossiers, the misleading. It was, as the chair referred to it, that breakdown in the ability of MPs to vote on the basis of their judgment, on the basis of their principle, and as a result of that, the consequences of the votes by Margaret Hodge and others is that 655,000 people have lost their lives. That's what is anxious, causing anxiety in our community overall, because it demonstrates a government out of touch with the people of this country, dominated by someone who's entered into a military alliance with George Bush for strategic military purposes, for imperialistic purposes, as has been said, but is willing not only to risk the lives of British soldiers, but is willing to enter into the murder of 655,000 people. That's why I'm standing for the leadership of the Labour Party, to remove Tony Blair and to replace him with someone who voted against the wall, someone who's willing, within the first 24 hours of being elected leader of the Labour Party and Prime Minister of this country, to announce the withdrawal of British troops from Iraq within 24 hours. What's amazing, I've been coming and going off the platform because Channel 4 are interviewing various people, and me included, about the visit to Basra today by Gordon Brown. The Iraqi people do not want visits by ministers who voted for the war, which has resulted in the murder of so many of them, as publicity stunts in some election campaign for the leader of the Labour Party in this country. That's all it is. What I've said to them very clearly, Brown needs to get back here with Blair, and on Monday when Parliament reopens, to bring forward the exit strategy to get British troops out of Iraq, break the alliance with George Bush, and give Iraq back to the people themselves. That's what Brown should be doing, not visiting in a way in which simply seeks to secure publicity. But it isn't just Iraq that's been raised, you know, it isn't just Iraq. If it was Iraq just in itself, maybe memories might start to dim, but it was also Lebanon. And when the Lebanon occurred and the Prime Minister refused to call for an immediate ceasefire, that was bad enough. That was bad enough. But he must have seen, he's a parent, like me, like many of you, he must have seen the same pictures coming out of Cana of the buildings that were bombed, the children's bodies being carried out. He must have seen them the same as me and you. But not only did he refuse to call for an immediate ceasefire, we then discover that he's allowing British bases to be used for the transport of weapons from America through Prestwick and then on to Israel. The use of cluster bombs, hundreds and thousands of them dropped in the last 72 hours of the Israeli occupation of southern Lebanon. Already nearly 200 casualties, 40 of them dead, many of them children maimed. That's why people no longer trust Tony Blair. That's why people are calling for him to go and go as soon as possible. And that's why we're trying to replace him, not with another warmonger who voted for this war, but with someone who supports peace, who wants withdrawal, and who wants to secure peace for the Palestinians and a just settlement as well. Where we go from here is this, is that we continue in this campaign in solidarity. And it is a campaign in solidarity, because if you look around you, there'll be people from all different walks of life that came out to protest against the war, but to stand together in solidarity. As has been said earlier, one of the key things we wanted to stand in solidarity with is protection against those who would be the victims of the backlash in our society after the war. It's always the case. I just use the example of my own people, the Irish. When the Brits invaded Ireland, they do the usual thing of imperialists. It isn't just about military invasion. Also, the process is to dehumanise, and they do it with all sorts of mechanisms. The Irish joke, in the same way we've seen cartoons against the Muslims in this country. They treat to dehumanise people so that they can justify invasion and the treatment of people as some sort of subhuman species. And that's what's happening at the moment. And I just wonder what it's like being a young Muslim person in my constituency. Every day the media have got some new story, no matter how bizarre. Can you remember the one, on one Friday afternoon when I came through Paddington Station, two stories of the headlines, absolutely bizarre. Can you remember that one? Guide dog banned by Muslim cab driver? Extraordinary. And then there's a punch up in Windsor, and it's Muslim riot on Queen's doorstep. For Christ's sake, it's unbelievable, isn't it? And it just goes on and on and on. It's the most bizarre assault on a single group of people. So what we're doing is standing in solidarity. And we all have a role to play. So let's explain the role that we have to play. We say to MPs straightforwardly, in the coming weeks, when John Reid comes back with the next assault on civil liberties, you stand firm and you vote against it. It's as simple as that. When they come back for the 90 days, we expect not just a small number of Labour MPs, half a dozen, we expect every MP to be voting against it, because we know how it's being used. It's being used to abuse, and it's being used to terrorise a section of our own community. In addition to that, we need to be very, very clear to politicians and others that when they make statements like Jack Straw, there are consequences to those statements. And you know the consequences. The consequences are racial attacks on individual members of our community, the most vulnerable in our community as well. So we say to them, hold your mouth. Hold your mouth. Just shut up for a change. Just be quiet and listen. Just listen to what we're talking about. Engage in this debate. Engage in this debate about the consequences of your own actions. Because your actions are causing division within our community and allowing the scapegoating by others of those most vulnerable. And in that way, I believe in solidarity, we can ensure the withdrawal of troops from Iraq, we can move forward on a peaceful agenda for the Middle East, but above all else, we can unite together to create the society that lives in harmony that we want in this country. I'm angry about what's gone on. Absolutely angry. But I tell you, touring around the country, meeting people after people, meeting after meeting, towns in Scotland, Wales, Bristol, Exeter, right the way up to Newcastle, people are coming together like this, equally angry. The government is absolutely isolated on this issue. And it's as a result of the strength of our solidarity that we can defeat those people who took us to war, remove them from office, replace the warmongers with peacemakers, and replace those who divide our society with those who bring it together in harmony. Solidarity.
Thanks very much, John.